vacation. We're starting at a later time than usual, so I imagine a fair number of us are doing what vacation time calls us to do, which is to be out, to vacate, I guess. So please move forward so that there's more of a sense of community, and when we sing, we can hear each other sing. For those who are visiting and worshiping with us for the first time, welcome to you. For those who are visiting with us for the first time, I'm Matthew Swara, one of the pastors here, along with Jana Gingrich. If you have any announcements, please come forward to this front row while I share my announcement. If you sat in a pew where you noticed a stick there next to you, that is an invitation for you to come join the children's story. It looks like we are just a little shy of little children here. I'm not sure what we're going to do when it's time to invite them forward, but at a later point in the story, I'm going to invite everyone who has a stick, either you found a stick or you were enlisted with a stick, to come join here in the front for children's story as well. If we don't have any little children here, then we'll proceed with the story anyway. I'm not sure how we'll do that, but does anyone have any announcements that they want to bring to our attention right now during this time of worship? Okay. If there are none, then let's proceed. I'd like to share some thoughts as we begin worship today, looking forward to Frank's message and our time of prayer. I was doing, or my wife Becky and I were doing last Sunday, much of what many people are doing during this vacation time, and that was to vacate. We were in Arizona this past week to celebrate Becky's mother's, my mother-in-law's, 90th birthday. And one of the statements I made around the big celebration dinner, lifting up the water glass, was, may all her children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren be at 80 like she is at 90, for health and vigor and interest and engagement in the world and things like that. In our family gathering for this celebration was a wide range of opinions and ideas around politics and faith, from a Unitarian church person to devout Catholic and Mennonite. And there were at times discussions and acknowledgments of our differences, our ideas, things that we hold sacred. But never was there any huffing and storming out or insults or attacks against anyone. Sometimes there was a little bit of gentle teasing exchanged, the kind of teasing, you know, that does more to release tension than to cause tension. There's another kind of teasing that has been going on in our family for quite some time, and that's among the three guys who married the three daughters of Ginny Jackson, whose 90th birthday we celebrated, and her husband, my father-in-law, Jim Jackson, who is 92 and also could pass for 78, maybe. The teasing between us three son-in-laws is, so who now is the favorite son-in-law? Well, we all have our advantages in that competition, but we also have our disadvantages. Mine is a long memory of the first time that the in-laws took me to a dinner with them at a fancy-schmancy restaurant with Becky. And at some point between the courses, we got little paper cups of sort of lemony, soapy water. And I was wondering what it was, and I lifted it up to smell. And my future mother-in-law said, he's going to drink it. I said, no, I was just smelling it, but it looked for all the world like I was going to drink it. And I was, you know, the differences in our families, the Suarez didn't eat in restaurants where they did that kind of thing. We might have washed dishes or cooked the food or played music, but I came from a different world. And so 40 years later, we're still joking about that. Don't drink the soap water. Don't drink the dishwater, Matthew. I'm just grateful that 40 plus years later, we're all around to remember that. Or the time that my in-laws got a new white carpet in the living room and I got black shoe polish just walking on it, walking through it. Again, I'm just grateful that we're still around with each other to remember that and to joke about it. But our laughter around the question of who's the favorite son-in-law often turns to a sigh as we all acknowledge the favorite, number one, best son-in-law died 12 years ago to cancer. David is his name. And David was an accomplished teaser too, but with his sly, conspiratorial smile, his kind of teasing drew you in closer to him and sort of made you feel warmly welcomed. He knew me enough to be able to poke me gently at that little vulnerable spot, but it's one that we shared. It drew us in together. We sigh and acknowledge he was probably the best son-in-law and brother-in-law we could have had. During one of the political conversations, my in-laws said something like, well, we are, just fill in the blank with whatever party, it doesn't matter. And I said, you know, I don't think of you as fill in the blank with a party affiliation. I think of you as probably the best in-laws a guy could have. And I wasn't buttering them up. It was because 40 years ago, after their daughter, Becky and I, knew that we had fallen in love and wanted to marry each other, and even though we come from very different backgrounds and such, they have taken me in as part of the family. Even though I'm known to drink dishwater and to get black shoe polish on white carpets. And here we are together this morning as something of a family gathering, also celebrating something timeless, started long before us, continuing as long as God wants. Here we are as a family gathering, a celebration by virtue of our Heavenly Father's love and embrace and adoption of us, available to all who wish to be so embraced and to entrust themselves to God's loving faithfulness. There are a lot of differences among us here, too, and mistakes and missteps in our own lives and relationships, but here we are, still gathering. And what a contrast to some of the depressing, distressing things that have filled the news cycle lately, such as two mass murders, gun-related. Killers were on opposite ends of the poles, ideologically and politically, but that didn't keep them from loving, you know, from being seduced by the power of love, excuse me, the love of power rather than the power of love. And their sense of we was based on division and separation, fear, resentment, hostility, and the love of power that they wanted to attack rather than embrace. Contrast that with the family gathering we joined mentioned in Hebrews 12, verses 22 to 24, where the writer says, you have come to Mount Zion, the heavenly one, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. And that family gathering includes number one unsurpassed son-in-law and brother-in-law, David, who, along with others, is worshiping with us with a joy and a love that is engaging, that his engaging and inviting and mischievous smile could only hint at. So in this time of worship here, let's all join David and all our family of mortals and angels around the throne. First, to pray with me, please. and then to sing. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this family gathering of faith, hope, and love that unites us with Christ around His throne. Whatever our background is, whatever our name, whatever our ethnicity or identity, Your all-embracing love makes us family, joint heirs with Jesus, heirs of all that You share, the love that is between You through the Holy and the Son through the Holy Spirit. So bless this time of gathering that it indeed might be just that kind of family gathering with our eternal, infinite family gathered with You around the throne. This we pray in the name of Him who makes us joint heirs with Him. Amen. Let's continue worshiping in song.
Frank is going to be speaking to us about the children of God. And one of the hymns that speaks directly to that topic is number 102, God Our Source. Number 102. If you're able, would you please stand with me?
Jesus.
Frank told me that one of the themes of his sermon is going to be grace. And there are two songs related to that topic. One of them is number 151, Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord. The other one is just one page before that, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. 151. Back one page to number 150, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Praise Him. chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea.
I could give no better background nor commentary on the words that you are about to hear than was already in the songs that we just sang. Thank you, Clyde, for that those choices there. So with those songs in mind, let's listen to these words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 1. And you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now at work among the children of disobedience. Among them, too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, in a moment, we're going to continue our worship, our response to such grace, with the giving of tithes and offerings. And then right after that, the children will come around to collect coins for, well, you see, My Coins Count. That's a program of the Mennonite Central Committee, which raises funds for relief projects recently for the refugees, 70 million of them around the world even now. So I invite the ushers to come forward to be ready to receive the offering. And they will go forth after I pray. Please join me in prayer. With what shall I acknowledge your grace, O Lord? How shall we respond, O Lord, to the giving of yourself, your everything through Christ, but in giving ourselves every opportunity that there is, such as this one. You do not need what we bring, but you gift us even in giving us the chance to give. And so bless the gifts and the givers, O Lord, for your eternal glory and for our joy, even the joy of giving and participating in your grace in this world. This we pray in the name of him who, though he was infinitely rich, became poor for our sakes. Amen. And now for the children's collection, and then after you brought the coins up, children, then join me here for this story, please.
My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. If we look around, there are people that we see all around the world. Needing food or water or a chance to live in peace, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
Coins count.
I'm sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count.
Coins count.
My coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. The gifts we are given to be shared all around the world. It doesn't matter if they're big or small, when you so care, we can make a difference in the world. Because my coins count,
coins count.
My coins count,
coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good. My coins count,
coins count.
My coins count,
coins count.
We can make a difference in the world. There's a lot. what we can achieve all around the world. Witnessing to others that we live what we believe, we can make a difference in the world, because my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
Sitting in a pocket when they could be doing good, my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count. We can make a difference in the world, because
my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
Sitting in my pocket when they could be doing good, my coins count,
my coins count,
my coins count.
My coins count.
We can make a difference in the world.
If you volunteers who have sticks, I'll call you in a few minutes here. Okay. As a teacher, you have to ask yourself, did I make the instructions clear enough? Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Can I hear a good morning back, please? Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you notice anything different up here that you don't usually see on a Sunday morning?
What?
Yeah, there's a bunch of sticks here. That's because, oh, and there's something else. What's this?
A shirt.
It's not a blanket. It's not really a shirt.
It's a sweatshirt.
Well, it's not a sweatshirt. It's actually my nicest coat. It's a really nice coat that I would use. So we're going to pretend that it's winter time. So it's chilly. It's cold. And there's some snow on the ground. And we're walking through the woods. And it's getting dark. And we're not going to make it somewhere where we're going in time. It looks like we're going to have to camp out here in the forest. Yes?
We could make a log cabin.
But there's really not much time for that. It's getting dark. The sun is setting. It's getting colder in the woods there. And there's a little bit of snow on the ground. So which would you rather have as that happens? This warm, nice coat or a bunch of sticks? You'd rather have the warm, nice coat. Okay, anybody else? Raise your hand if you'd rather have the nice, warm coat. You'd rather have the nice, warm coat? I can understand it. What? How about you?
If I was a person, I would use that as a person.
Oh, you'd make a person out of this?
Yeah.
Put it together and pretend like you have somebody with you in the woods?
Yeah.
You know, I had not thought of that. That's a great idea. That would help keep me feeling a bit more comfortable. I'd have sort of a pretend person with me.
But we would need glue.
But we'd need glue, you're right. Glue or string. Right, if we built a person out of sticks, he wouldn't go with us, would he or she? Oh, you'd walk. Okay. Well, let's imagine, okay, the night has fallen. It's really dark. You've got this nice warm coat on you. But it's getting colder and colder, and you can feel the chill sort of coming in around your collar and up your pant legs and all that. And you hear something else. You hear wolves howling in the distance. Maybe coyotes too. Yip, 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 yip. And then you hear something moving in the brush. You know that there are bears in the woods. It sounds kind of big, and you hear, oh, that's probably a bear. Or you might hear, oh, that could be a cougar. Is this coat going to do you much good if the bear or the cougar or the wolves come near? No. Now what are we going to do? You need to be a fireman? Why is that? Okay, as they come close, you could spray them with water.
And they would run away.
I think they would run away if we sprayed them with water, but there's no fire hydrant and there's no hose. So now what might keep them away?
Fire engines have water.
Fire engines have water, but let's pretend there's no fire engine with us. There's just there's just our coat and a bunch of sticks. Well, we don't have any dynamite with us. We just have a coat and some sticks. Is there any way these sticks could be helpful? You could make noise with them. I hadn't thought of that one. That's a good one. I could see, use this to slap the bear and the cougar. You don't think, I don't think that would be a good idea either. You could pick a stick up and do what? Okay, break a stick and throw it to them to eat. I don't think they eat sticks. Let's see, what if we pile these all together? And I just happen to have some matches with me. And what could I do with these sticks if I happen to have some matches with me and I pile them up like this? Anybody? So make a fire with these sticks. That's what I was thinking. Do you think the cougars or the bears would come in when I've got a fire going?
No,
they're afraid of fire. So I would start a fire, and that's when I think, I'm glad I have the sticks, because, the fire would cast light, and it would scare the bears away, and the cougars. They don't like light. They certainly don't like the light of fire. And
there's one of the...
They're afraid it will spread. That's right. So we'll be real careful with this fire, okay? We'll clean all the leaves and twigs away. And it'll also keep us warm, just like that. Carried a candle with us too. That's a good idea. And what? And use the candle to light the fire. Yeah, I've done that before. Actually, that's a good way to do it. Okay, but look at this pile of sticks here. Is this going? If I start this going, and I'm not going to, so. Now, those of you in the Facilities and Finance Commission, don't worry. I'm not going to start these. But if I was to start this little fire going here with these twigs, and this was all I had, would that keep me warm and safe from the bears and the cougars all night long?
No.
No, it's not enough, is it?
Because you need, big sticks.
Yeah, I need lots of sticks, big sticks and all that, And as I lit the fire...
Yeah, the bears could find you there.
The bears would find me, but I think the bears would stay away from the fire, but there would be other eyes out there in the woods that might see the fire going, eyes that don't scare me. And this is what I'm calling the volunteers now, either with a stick or you have a stick next to you. You're also in the woods on a cold, dark night, and you see the fire here. And you start coming in, too, with your contributions. Okay, now is when I'm calling you in. Look what's happening. They see the fire, too, and they start putting their sticks on it. And come, feel free to join us here and sit with us. And stay with us, please, if you wish. And they also come. And all right, look at this big pile of firewood coming up. All right. Whatever you've got, big or little, put it on and then please stay with us. Wow. Okay, now look what's happened here. You see all these people who saw the light in the forest and they came to join us too. And they brought their sticks and added, is this going to be a fire big enough to keep the bears and the cougars away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. And what's more, we've got enough people here where the bear's going to think, too many of them. I'm going to wait for another day here. You know what this is? This for me is something that demonstrates love. Yeah, the bears. Right, if they saw the sparks going up, and they smelled the smoke, and they saw all these people, and they know, I'm going to be hungry tonight.
But I would just jump in that pile of sticks and make a house out of it.
Okay.
Really strong.
You could also, I don't know that these are enough to make a house out of, but okay, I like your idea too. love is like that too. The Bible tells us that God, we love because God first loved us. And love is something we can sort of keep to ourselves like a coat, but against all the scary things in the world and all the cold in the world, all the scary things there, that's not going to help us as much. But if we take what we've been given, what we have, and make a light with it to invite other people, they all bring in their part too, and that helps us get through all the scary things in the world. So the words go on to say, and as God loved us, we must also love each other. Bring what we have to share and make light and watch each other. That's kind of like what's happening here when we gather in church, and it happens in your homes with your moms and dads and brothers and sisters. And when the world feels dark and cold, just think about the light that you can make and invite others to join and let them join and contribute their part too. So let's pray. Dear Lord, no matter how dark or cold the world might feel at times, the light of your love is still kindled and going, and we can gather around it, and you'd invite us in. Thank you so much. And let these dear children with us today also feel the warmth and see the light of your love and be ever drawn towards it and draw others too. This we pray in Christ's name, for he is the light. Amen. You may go back to your seats now. I invite Frank now up for a word of prayer and a blessing before you share with us too, and we share your blessing and light with us. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for Frank and for the love, the light, the word that you have placed on his heart. And we pray that as he has been open to receive that word and to share it with us, that we also would be open to receive and live and share it with others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You get these lights a little bit. Turn them off. Yeah, just down. Does that work? Oh, I'm on. Good. Thank you. I just got back from a trip, not as long as yours. Boy, is that loud or is that me? There we go. How's that? There we go. I just got back from a trip from the Wallowa Mountains. Had a great time, was up there. Thought that I would spend a lot of time preparing for this morning while I was up there, because I had a lot of downtime and chased a lot of goats and fish and didn't do a lot of prep work. So this will be a little bit like the children's service. It might be kind of out of control. I don't know. We'll see where this goes. I am excited, though, because I get to share one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It's been a favorite of mine since I was 17 years old. That's when I first memorized it. And it's been kind of a bedrock of my faith experience. It's spoken to me throughout time, and I get to share it with you this morning. And part of the reason for that is because I had a conversation about 2 months ago with a good friend of mine, a brother of mine. I asked him about 30 minutes ago it was okay if I shared this, and I don't know if he trusts me or not. But the conversation was really interesting. We're both about the same age. We both had similar experiences. We grew up in the same kind of world. We both grew up in the Mennonite church. We both made our livings digging in the dirt with our hands, him a farmer, me a landscaper. And we began to talk about how much things have changed in the past 50 years. Just like old men do, right? Sitting there talking about old days and how much society has changed, how much work has changed. You know, this used to be such an agrarian place. Now it's got a bunch of professionals, different people. Things have just changed, and culture has changed, and technology has changed, farming has changed, and the church has changed. It's just changed along with it. And as we talked about that, he used a phrase that stuck in my head. It's an old phrase that I'd heard before, but I hadn't thought of it very often. But it was like-mindedness. a phrase that he used, like-mindedness. And we talked about the importance of like-mindedness, how it can help you do things that are worth doing. We talked about the dangers of like-mindedness, how it can drive you down a goat path to a cliff that you can't figure out, right? Which is what I did last week. So we talked about those things. And I went home that night and I did some writing. And I wrote down a question. And I asked myself, what could I go on a Sunday morning, go to Zion, meet with you people, some of you I know pretty well, some not that well. And what is that thing that I could share that we would be like-minded about? Not just something little, but something big enough and deep enough and fundamental enough and important enough and central enough that would say, that everybody together could kind of go, yeah, that's it. That's what makes us a family. And I can think of a lot of passages of Scripture, but because of my experience with this passage, my mind kept going back to this passage. It's the first words, the introduction to the book of John, which is by far my favorite book of the Bible. I'm sure you're familiar with the passage, but it's poetic, and it's powerful, and it's deep. It has some mystery to it. It has profound theology into it. It has a little bit of controversy in it, especially for the time that it was written. So I just want to share that passage with you this morning. And then I'm going to share an 18-year-old's idea of what that passage meant. I'm going to try to stick with some of the ideas that I had at that time. So it's not going to be real profound, I promise you. It's not. And then share the passage again. So if you want to hit the screen here. I brought, Kelsey's here. Hi, Kelsey. I brought you pictures. Kelsey likes pictures to look at. And that's not the right one. That's the right one. You've got them from the last message. That's good. Here are these words. Listen to these words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. That light shines into the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Next. There came a man that was sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. The true light that gives life to all men was coming into the world. He was in the world. And even though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, biggest yet in the Bible, yet, to all who received him, to all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not out of natural descent, or of human will, or of a husband's desire, but children born of God. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only sent to us by God, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him, saying, "This is the one." This is the one of whom I said, "He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." By the abundance of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. Because the law came to us through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, except for God, the one and only, who is now at his Father's side and makes God known to us. I love that passage. And I'm not even going to pretend this morning that I'm going to unwrap that passage. I mean, it's going to take a smarter person than me. But there's so much there, and it's so deep, and it's so profound, and yet, as an 18-year-old boy, this passage started to shape my life. And I'm just going to go through it briefly, really briefly, and then I want to share the passage one more time. You can let her go. The number one thing for me that I recognize from this passage is right at the beginning. In the very beginning, at the very dawn of time, I don't understand anything about creation, and I couldn't care less about the controversy of it. Not one lick. But in that time, Jesus was there. And through Him, everything was created. And as I thought about that, I thought about my flesh, my blood, my heart, my brain, my emotions. That all came from Jesus. All of it. My life fully dependent on Him, my very existence. And believe it or not, and my mom's here, she'll say this is true. Believe it or not, that created a tiny little spark of humility in an otherwise arrogant idiot. A tiny bit. Not that anybody could see it. And then I thought further about this passage, about this light and life that shines into the world. And this is probably Matthew, this is probably horrible theology, but it's what I thought at the time. The world did not understand it. The darkness didn't pick it up. And somehow in my little brain, that gave me permission to not have to figure all this stuff out. Because I didn't get it. I mean, I did my best, and I wasn't really ignorant, but I didn't get it all. And somehow this passage said to me, yeah, it's tough to get, it's tough to understand. And since it's tough to understand, since the beginning of the time and well past where all of us are gone, God sends witnesses of the light into the world like John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest witness of all time, preparing a way for people to receive Christ. And He's done it all the way through history. You know, Billy Graham, all of these people that you can think of in our lives that witnessed to Christ. But listen to John's stern warning. John the Baptist is not the light. John the Baptist is not the light. The true light was coming to the world, and John the Baptist was not the light. And it's so tempting to follow after people's smart, quick, cute teaching and not connect with Christ. I thought of that even as an 18-year-old. I was in love with John MacArthur, sorry. Grace to you, loved it. Listened to all of that stuff. I thought he was super duper, right? And as I read that, I thought, okay, John's not the light. Menno Simon is not the light, right? Christ is the light, and it's a connection with Him that gives us our connection with each other. Not a connection to a pastor, not a connection to Menno Simon, but a connection to Christ. I thought about that. As a kid, as a little guy. And then I thought about this. He came into the world, and even though the world was made through Him, and even though He came to the people who should have known Him best, didn't recognize Him. Didn't recognize Him for who He was. And it made me wonder at that time even, and I have wondered the rest of my life, is the Christ that I've created in my mind and thought about and learned about in Scripture and centered my life on, is the Christ of my mind who He really is at all? I wonder about that all the time. They were looking for a Messiah, right? Those people were looking for a Messiah. They even thought John might be the Messiah because that kind of fit their mold and their idea. But as a body and a group of people even, do we create a Christ that is Christ, or do we see the light? And I'm not preaching to you about that. That's a question I constantly ask myself. Would I recognize Him if He came in the door? I don't know that I would. But here's the relief point on all of that. Even though I don't understand it, and even though I don't always perceive it, and even though I don't always recognize Him for who He is, there's this big yet, right in the middle of that passage. Yet, in spite of all that, in spite of the fact that I don't understand, perceive, or know him as he is. He says all you have to do is receive. Matthew read it this morning. By grace we are saved through faith. And that's not even from us. It's a gift of God. Just in case anybody should think there's something special. You're not. You're not. Your specialness comes in your life through Christ. Because he gives us the right to be the children of God, not because of natural descent, not because you're a Yoder or a Gingrich or a Hirschberger, maybe because you're a Hostetler somewhere inside, not because you're a Kaufman. That heritage makes no difference. None. It's got zero, zero, zero effect. So your heritage doesn't... And that was controversial at the time, right? If you were a Jew, you were saved. If you weren't, you weren't. It was just in and out. Now it doesn't matter. I don't think it even mattered then. I think it was a confusion of truth. Heritage makes no difference. This one I don't understand. This one you can pick up on sometime. It's not human will. You can't make it happen. You can't go out and find Jesus. Remember I found it? You can't go out and find it. You can't think it up. You can't work it into your head, and you can't do any kind of works that make one bit of difference that get you there. It's not human will that takes you to that place. Not sure I completely understand that. So it's for another. That's a goat path that would lead me to a cliff, right? And it's not of a husband's will. It's not somebody else's decision for me. My mom and dad couldn't make me be a Christian if they wanted to. It's not something that is imposed on you. So you can't be born into it, you can't will yourself into it, and you can't be forced into it. All you can do is receive it. Another little tiny spark of humility for an arrogant little guy. It's a good thing to have, right? Right. So he was in the world. He wasn't recognized. He came in, and John testifies concerning him, crying out that this is the one. And through him and the receiving of him, we can all attest to this, right? Because all of our lives are perfect? No. But we have received one blessing after another. Being up in the woods for a week, hot water is a blessing. Showers are a blessing. Toilets are an awesome blessing. Dishwashers are a blessing. Life is a blessing. Getting up in the morning and seeing the light, watching the goats, think around up there. Our lives are blessed. Not because of what we have, but because of who we are in Christ as God's children. And here's a goat trail. I promise I'll go down some other day and get on a cliff and I'll fall off. But think about what John is saying here. The law of God came through Moses. And it is one thing. And it has a value. The law has a value. It will condemn you. That's the value of the law. You will find death and condemnation through the law. But grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, one piece, one coin. Grace without truth is worthless, and truth without grace is worthless. Truth and grace come through Jesus Christ. And in all of this, we realize that no one has seen God. I certainly haven't. You haven't. We don't know Him, but the one who does know Him is with Him now, making Him known to us. That's what binds us together, folks. All of that periphery stuff that we might focus our attention onto, what might matter, what might not matter. I mean, all of those things, aside from this, fundamental binding truth just don't mean much at all. They just don't. Christ and Christ alone, grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with... I'll get through this, I promise. I'm really close. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life. And that life was the light of men. That light shines into the darkness. But the darkness hasn't understood it. God sent a man named John to testify concerning that light, that so through him all men might believe. He wasn't the light. The true light that was coming into the world was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own didn't receive him yet. To all who receive him, to all who believe in his name, he gives the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human will or of a husband's desire, but born of God. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only sent to us from God, full of grace and truth. John cries out concerning him, this is the one. This is the one who I said would be before me because he was before me. Through the riches of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. Because the law came through Moses, but grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only, who is now at his Father's side, makes God known to us. Amen.
As our response hymn, let's turn to number 167. For God so loved us, he sent the Savior. 167.
Could you put the slide back up of the stars or the galaxy for a moment? I want us to just take a few moments of silence as we're kind of digesting Frank's message. It's really powerful when someone can memorize scripture instead of reading it. There's an element there that's very moving. So let's just take a moment to ponder. Jesus connects us together. He is the one. He makes us like-minded. And we receive him with his grace and truth. Thank you for your message this morning, Brother Frank. And we want to give you opportunity to share or respond this morning to the message or our worship, but also this is our time where we are together to lift prayers, prayers that you may have of concerns or praises. I want you to notice in the bulletin is a little insert saying, getting to know you. This was kind of my brainchild. It's a work in progress, but I just realized how many of our young adults are doing fascinating things this year, and this tells about them. This isn't a final list. This is for any of us if we want to say, hey, I want my church family to know where I've been, some places I've enjoyed, or where I'm going to be going. So check that out. Amazing. These kids are a lot smarter than me as far as teaching math. And Ian Oakes, bioengineering and what he's doing with that. It's fascinating. So anyone else like to share this morning? It's good to see Floyd and Claudia here. Glad you're out and about today. We've had some people traveling. Good to have you back. Lynn and Janice, Stan and Bonnie, too. Okay, I think we're still pondering the message. Let's go to prayer. Lord, your Spirit helps us in this life, even at times when we don't know how to pray. When our thoughts and spirits are heavy, and when they're rejoicing, we know that your Spirit intercedes for us. We come before you this morning and thank you for your acts of love, for your goodness in our lives. And we just lift those concerns that we carry and for those who are dear to us. We pray for our community and for our neighbors. We pray for the church in all places. And we pray for our world. Lord, you fling the stars into the heavens. And when we look at those stars, we realize how small we are and how much we need you. I pray that you would deepen our trust in the mystery of your power that shines through your Son, Jesus. And as we lean into his light, may we live your love for the world around us. As we pray together the prayer that you taught, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
I'm going to step a little bit into the song leader Clyde's turf by asking us to stand right now and greet all those around you with a word of peace. I think an appropriate one for this morning would simply be grace and peace to you. Let's pass that peace to each other before we then sing the last song. And now that we have blessed each other, let's bless God with this closing hymn. Clyde? Oh, okay. I understand that there is one more announcement. One more announcement.
No, please sing, because we're going to sing.
We're going to sing. I messed up. So I can only keep one date in my head at a time. So I gave the Cambria Herald our last rehearsal date. So our concert was last Sunday? No, it's today. So come, because we have no idea who's going to show up because I got the thing wrong in the paper. 3:30 today at the Church of God, and you're going to hear the same sermon you heard this morning, set to music. Come and see.
In the Blue Book, number 105, Christ, we do all adore thee.
That concludes our service. Go in peace to love and serve God and all His creation, each other. Amen.